Good morning. How you doing? All right, so if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 8, we'll be in verses 4 through 15. Many of you know the story. It's about the parable of the sower, the good soil, the rocky soil, the one that just falls next to the road. But I just want to share this as we were singing, what a beautiful name it is. It's kind of crazy because I didn't even plan on this. It's kind of a spur of the moment. God was just speaking to me. He sang that song, and the verse came immediately to my mind. And it's Romans 10:13 said, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Like he's saying, the wonderful name of the Lord is so powerful. Right here it just says, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." It's that strong. There's nothing you have to do. It's just accepting. You understand that that's power and that you're lost without it. And that spoke to me, and I was like, I've got to say that before I start. So it was really good. I'm thankful for that. But turn my Bible to Luke chapter 8. So we focused on 4 through 15, the parable of the sower. But really, I think you got to start in verse 1. You kind of have a little background on it. So verse 1 says, "Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God." He's talking about Jesus. He's going around preaching. "The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed by evil spirits and sickness, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing their support out of their private means." So we're going to start in verse 4 now. It says, "When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying with him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great." And he said, as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." It's kind of funny because he's telling the story, like the disciples have been with him, that he'd been ministering to him, he'd been teaching them. So they heard the story, you know. At face value, this is good moral, you know, I mean, it's the stuff that kind of just fell to the side, it didn't grow up, and the stuff that fell on the rocks didn't have a good soil, didn't have a good foundation, so it kind of just withered away. And the stuff on the good soil, it took root, it stayed firm in that soil, and it grew up. But it's a good story just in general, but the disciples being with Jesus enough, spending enough time with him, they knew this is not superficial. There's something underneath that he's trying to tell me. This is not just cool, Jesus is telling story time, you know. They understood that there was a story underneath, and they really wanted to get understand where he was coming from. And thankful for those guys, and you know, they're really guys to look up to, because a lot of times God gives us signs, but maybe it's not exactly right in front of you. Maybe there's some underlying, so maybe it's someone in the background, maybe he's doing something in the background with somebody, maybe he's using you in the background. And so a lot of times it's not the first thing that comes to your face, because that's what the devil loves to do to you. It's like sometimes you get down to rock bottom and you're looking for that first answer, that quick solution, a quick substance, whatever it is, and the devil will throw something in your face, and you know, you're so desperate, you're willing to take anything you can, and a lot of times it's a quick way out. It's human nature, it's the flesh, we're born into it, you know. We got to understand that we're lost and that we can't just jump to the first thing, we got to jump to the only thing, the truthful thing, and that's God's word. And so whenever he's also saying starts in verse 9, said, "The disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant, and he said, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and in hearing they may not understand.'" And this is kind of tying into a prophecy that he had spoken with Isaiah, and that prophecy is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, and says, "You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them." I thought that was kind of cool. He just kind of throws that in there and just kind of turns around. You know, he's always fulfilling prophecies, even if it's not in your time. Maybe it's in someone else's time. He's got to stay faithful with God. So we're going to continue reading 11 through 15 now. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." I'm going to stop right there first off. Because when I first initially read that, I was like, well, duh. Like, obviously, that's the word of God. You know, he's sown it everywhere. But I started stepping back, and I started thinking, you know, it fell on the ground. It didn't, where it was not going to take, where it got trampled immediately. It was kind of wasted, you know. And then it fell on the rocky soil, the places where it wasn't going to grow, and then it fell on the good soil. So it seems like he's really covered the entire base, and like it is the word of God. And I think we're kind of the road. He's spreading his word of God to us. And what really opened my eyes is right here, like he's saying to us, his word's going to touch everybody. He's a rightful God. He's a just God. He's not going to, at the end of time, whenever we're all called up, he's not going to say, people aren't going to have the excuse of, God, I didn't know you. God, I didn't have a chance to. And right here he's saying, no, I'm giving it to the people who didn't take it. I'm giving it to the people who maybe came in by smoke. Maybe it was a head thing over a heart thing. Maybe, but and then he's going to say, I gave it to the Christians. I gave it to people who followed me. It really opened my eyes because there's no excuse for not knowing the word of God. There's no excuse for not being saved. At the end of the time, you understand it was your choice and you chose to water that seed or not, because he makes it available for everybody. It's free. It's a gift. Nobody has to pay. Nobody has to go to this church. Nobody has to talk to this person. Nobody has to do this Hail Mary. Nobody has to do anything like that. It's all your choice. You hear the word of God and you respond out of obedience because you love him. You understand you're lost. So that really opened my eyes, is he made it available for everybody. There's no excuses at the end of time. You're accountable you're held accountable. Your feet are going to be held to the fire for your choices. So we're going to verse 12. It says, those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. So when I initially heard this, you know, I actually understood this part before I understood that the seed was the word of God and everybody's going to have access to it. And so I first read this and I was really thinking, I was like, God, like, why would you do that? Why would you allow your word to be out there, but some people just don't understand it? God, why are you allowing these people not to take it? And sometimes you got to step back and you got to understand there's nothing you can do to save anybody. It is not, as Christians, it's not our job to save anybody. It's our job to act out of obedience, and we choose to be saved and we're to love him. We're supposed to give everything to him and live our lives in obedience in him and show the love, the mercy, and the others see in us and they want it as well. And that also, it shows that there's some people you're just not going to be able to save. That kind of hits hard because everybody has those family members, friends, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, you'd give your life if they couldn't come to know Christ, you know. So kind of step back and realize that some people, they're just lost. They're not going to take it. You can try to plant the seeds. You can take them to church. You can pray for them every night. You can send them a Bible verse every day. You can do whatever you can do. You can plant those seeds all day, but at the end of the day, it's going to be their choice to water it. And it's pretty heartbreaking because not everybody's going to choose God. You just got to understand that sometimes you just can't keep kicking a dead horse, I guess. But you always want to keep praying for him. You always want to try to intercede, just as Jesus interceded for us, you know. We were lost in the world. We didn't deserve any mercy. He could have easily just started over and started with a new Adam and Eve. You know, he could have easily done that, but he sent his son to intercede on our behalf. Had it not been for Jesus, we wouldn't be saved today. And so he calls us to intercede for those who are lost, because you never know. Actually, I've been reading this book called Prayer, A Great Adventure by David Jeremiah. And that he was saying, whenever talking about a story, and this guy had been in the military. He actually got released, and he was trying to hitchhike back home, and this wealthy gentleman from Chicago, he actually gave him a ride in his big old nice Cadillac. He was pretty confused as to why he's giving him a ride back home, because they lived pretty close together. God works in mysterious ways. I don't know how that happens. And so as he's taking him home, and he feels it on his heart, and he's like, you know, I really feel like I need to share the word of God with this guy. I don't know why. I don't know him. I don't know his story, but I feel like I need to share the word of God with him. So he kind of just goes, kid's talking, kind of beats around the bush, and then finally, within like the last 15 minutes of him finally getting home, he finally decides to share his faith with the gentleman who actually gave him the ride, and the gentleman came to know Christ. He pulled to the side of the car and broke down in tears and came to know Christ. Well, I think 20 years go by, and he still has the gentleman's card who dropped him off, you know, he had shared the word of God with. So he goes to try to visit him like 10, 20 years later as business, because he had his business card, and his wife was there. And so he goes into the office, he rings in, you know, I'm looking for so-and-so, this gentleman. And she's like, well, why are you looking for him? He goes, well, he actually gave me a ride, and like 10 years ago afterwards, he brought me home. I shared the word of God with him, and he came to know Christ. And so she lets him into his office, and she just broke down in tears. And he was like, you know, what's wrong with you? And she goes, I've been praying for 40 years that my husband would come to know Christ. She goes, So after he dropped him off, on his way home to see his wife, he actually got in a car wreck and died. So this is like 30 minutes later, after he came to know Christ, he died. And so whenever he came up to her office and told her, you know, I shared the word of God with him, he came to know Christ, I just want to meet up with him. And she broke down in tears, and she goes, I've been praying for 40 years for my husband to come to know Christ, and I thought he died without love, without being saved. And So it was just eye-opening, just because she never knew the whole time. She'd been praying, and God came through, and she had no clue about it. And so God works in mysterious ways. And so that one really touched me, because she still never knew until the gentleman came. And so it all comes around full circle. You intercede, and God answered prayers. So we're going to go on to verse 13. It says, those on the rocky soil are those who have, or when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in times of temptation, they fall away. And like I was saying earlier, the head and the heart thing, that one, you know, as a kid, you go to church camp, stuff like that, you know, you leave on Friday, you leave on Thursday, whatever, you stay the whole weekend, and you go there, and you start feeling the camp high, and everybody always stress afterwards, you know, afterwards, let's try to live God, like a live godly life, let's act like we, like, you know, let's, if we've really been saved, let's go live like it, you know. And so you kind of get on that church camp high, you feel all good, and then you come back that next Monday, go to school, and boom, it's all gone, you know, you kind of just throw it away. And so it's kind of the point where it's a head, there's a difference between a head thing and a heart thing. There's a difference between happiness, and there's a difference between joy. And so you've really got to understand, are you really saved, or is it just kind of, oh, I feel good, you know, God made me feel good, God spoke to me, you know, it seems like these are the same kind of people who, they kind of jump from one thing to the next, they like the rocky soil, you know what's right and what's wrong, and so maybe you are saved, maybe you have that conviction, but because you don't step out and, you know, act out of obedience and reverence for God, and you don't follow his word, that sometimes it just, you try to go from one thing to the next because you think this life's going to be easy. You read the Bible, there's good stories, and what the Bible does, it does do this, but a lot of times, sometimes you read something, it can like be from one sentence to the next, but within those sentences, there's a span of 30 years. So like to us, we don't really get the full grasp of it, because sometimes you think, oh, it's a good story, it applies to me now, you know. They just tell me that, oh, maybe next week it's going to feel better. Maybe tomorrow God's going to give me a solution. And the devil knows that. He knows that you're thinking you're going to look for a solution no matter what. You're going to try to find something to compensate for the loss or whatever's going on in your heart. And so sometimes he uses alcohol. Sometimes he uses drugs. Sometimes he uses a quick hookup. Sometimes he uses video games. Kids, I'm sorry, but sometimes he uses video games. And so the devil, sometimes it seems like the devil knows you more than you know yourself, because he can bring up something that happened 10 or 15 years ago that it hurt you then, but you finally come, you know, you gave it to God and you're over it, you know. Sometimes it creeps back in, but you give it to God, and maybe 15 years later, you're down in the dumps, and the devil knows something happens 15 years ago, it's going to trigger that instant response again. And so you try to jump on the next best thing again, because we're cyclical, we're humans, and that's what we like to do. We don't try to like to hurt. We try not to hurt. We try to find something else to make us feel better. And so a lot of times you just kind of have to pray, you have to wait. And as a saying I read on Twitter, it said, you know, if God doesn't present a doorway to you, praise him in the hallway. You don't always have to have that answer immediately. Sometimes God just says, hey, just wait there. I've got something working in the background. I got something coming up. Maybe, you know, sometimes you just need to wait and pray and trust that God's going to be there. And that's one of the hardest things, is because, like, you're ready for it to be there, but it's like a hurry up and wait kind of situation, you know. It's, God wants us to have patience. You got to pray for it. And if you don't use God as your first defense, first line of defense, he's always going to be your last resort. So you always got to bring everything to God. And so we're going to go on to verse 14. It said, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So I'm going to go to my MacArthur notes. He says, and he talks about the distractions, you know, the pleasure, you see, the riches, the pleasure of this life, and because they really choke you out. And it's, you know, it's easy to see dollar signs. It's easy to see a lot of good things that this world's going to throw in your face. But at the same time, you've got to take your root, and you've got to see through the good and the bad. You've got to understand that just because it is good, maybe that doesn't mean it's right. It's like, and he said, it doesn't reach maturity. And actually, I was listening to 91.1 did this part 2 weeks ago, and they actually said the definition of maturity, in a Bible standpoint, is knowing that you can, but you don't have to. Knowing that those options, those available, the substance, everything like that, the quick ways out, it's right there. It's always going to be there, but you don't have to do that. You can stay there. You can, instead of saying, God, why am I in this situation? God, what do you want me to learn through this situation? Not trying to, God, give me something to get out quick. God, hey, God, if this is where you want me to be, keep me here, teach me, that way you can mold me, and in turn, it's going to help me out in the long run. Maybe it's not helping myself. Maybe it's helping my spouse later on. Maybe it's helping a friend. Maybe it's helping anybody. Because he works everything in mysterious, great ways. And so I actually looked up on this website. It's called Wise Bread. The top 9 problems that money can't solve. Just because, you know, Did we get distracted by the money sign, the dollar sign, stuff like that? And I think this is also applicable to alcohol, drugs, video games, quick hookups, stuff like that. And it says, failed relationships, midlife crisis, getting in shape, acquiring skills and talents, becoming a better person, natural disasters, being blackmailed, wanting the impossible, and being a joyful person. These are real problems that everybody faces every single day, and it can happen to anybody at any given point. Nobody knows the battles that anybody's facing. And right here, I mean, this has nothing to do with the Bible. This is 9 problems that someone said that can't be solved with earthly things. We can't go. God can't be the source of our peace if the world's gonna be our source of satisfaction. And then, I didn't even go to the Bible for that. I went to the internet. You know, it's probably one of the worst things nowadays, you know. And the internet just straight said that. So, and I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And said, because we get lost in the pleasures, the riches, everything gets in our face, and we kind of worry and stuff. And so, this is what, it's funny, because every time there's a problem, God, the Bible always gives a solution. He never leaves us out. He always provides us with an answer. Maybe it's not the one right away, but he sometimes you've got to stay there and have peace. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, for this I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you being by being worried can add a single hour to this life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even like one of these, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there's your Bible there. You know, it says you can't, by worrying, by trying to seek after that dream job, trying to seek after those dollar signs, by trying to seek after this life, trying to seek after that life, it does nothing for you, because at the end of the day, you're still going to be left with yourself in the mirror. The money's not going to stand next to you. It's not going to help you through these times of trouble. It's not going to be it's going to be a quick relief. It's going to help you live on the high. It's going to help you just stay on top of the mountain. But most of the time, the most important lessons you learn is whenever you go down into the valley, because once you're at the bottom, the only way to look is up. And a lot of times, that's when you really find God and you really find his purpose for you, and sometimes he really gives you those answers. And sometimes, I'm speaking myself, sometimes that's what it takes me. Sometimes I like to say, hey, God, I can do this. I know what I'm going to do. You bless me. I know what I'm going to do. I know exactly where I'm going to go. You know, sometimes it's God, I just don't know what to do. Sometimes God, hey, this opportunity is good, but God, I'm going to pray that if this is really what your will is. And I love to try to take over things myself. I'm a guy. I like to have a little pride, kind of like a little ego. I like to say, I can do this. I'm independent. You know, I'm 20. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to figure some stuff out for myself. And so a lot of times I really try to take the will, and like that song says, you know, Jesus, take the will. And it's like, I can't say, God, I'm going to give you my life. God, bless my life. God, I'm going to submit to you. If I'm still saying, God, I'll give you that, but God, I'm going to take part of this. If you're going to give your life to God, you can't hold on to this. Either God's all in or God's all out, and that's a choice that you decide. It's nice because it gives you the free will to choose that, but based on your choices, you're not free of those consequences. But you're going to reap what you sow. You put good in, you're going to get good out. You put God in, you're going to get God out. You're going to put bad in, you're going to get bad out. It's just like you put garbage in, you get garbage out. And so you're going to really try to focus on living a godly life. You've really got to focus on him and everything you do, even when you're at the top of the mountain. It's hard to do that, because when you feel blessings, you get really caught up in it. And you're like, man, God, I really thank you for this. And you really just got caught in the moment. But whenever that valley hits, it's like, God, like, I have nothing else, you know. And sometimes you just, you've got to look up to him. That's the only answer. That's the only way you're going to find peace instead of joy, or it's peace instead of happiness. And he's got every answer. Every time I mess up, God steps up, you know. He's always there. So we're going to go back to Romans. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 8. We're going to hit on verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. See, God was in this world. He was not of this world. You can't go into a room expecting for people to see God in your life. Can't expect going into a room trying to change it. You can't expect people to see a change in your life if you look just like them. I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to everybody else, because a lot of times you really, like, in the world we live in today, it seems like we're more worried about a product instead of the process. We want the blessings, but we don't want to put in the work. We want to have a relationship with God. We want God to bless us and have a relationship with us and fill our lives. We don't want to look to Him for everything. And in MacArthur notes, it said, you know, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So heard, it says, is a reference of understanding and believing. Hold, it refers to ongoing obedience. And the fruit, first of the works performed. So heard, you know, heard is, it's kind of like the ABCs of, like, whenever you come, ABCs of salvation, you know, you admit, you believe, and you confess. It's kind of like that. So you understand and you believe in it, so that's when you accept Him. So then you hold on to it, and then so you take root of it, and you really, it's not just a camp high, you're not just trying to use God as a substance instead of a solution. You really look to God as the total answer for everything. And so that's whenever you keep seeking His word, you pray every night, you know, you try to do Bible studies, you look for a mentor in your life, you really try to cling to God in everything you do. And because of that, the fruit, the good works are going to, because you're putting good in, you're going to get good out. You know, you put God in, you get God out. You're going to see it in your lifestyle. You're going to see it in your way of thinking. Every time something comes up, you're going to pray. You're going to look to God instead of saying, God, and like, something happens to you, you're not just going to be like, okay, well, how do I deal with this? What do I need to do? Do I go left or I go right? And a lot of times it's right in front of you, and it's look up. So I'm going to leave you these four. I'm not going to leave you yet. So here's some things to put in comparison of, like, our relationship with God and how He's always there whenever we slip up. It says, I'm a failure, He's my forgiver. I'm a sinner, He's my Savior. I'm broken, He's my healer. I'm His child, He's my God. And so, in closing, like I said, Jesus was in this world, He's not of it. You can't go into a room thinking that you're going to change it and look just like everybody else. You can't go into a sinful world looking just like sin, otherwise you're going to get wrapped up in it. You surround yourself with it, so therefore you succumb to it. And He didn't come to condemn, but to redeem. And like I said, and so this last Bible verse I'm going to look to is Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And He said, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we can't try to look like somebody else. God made each of us our own person. God made Brian Martin Brian Martin. God made Ricky just like Ricky. God made Nikki just like Nikki, and vice versa. It's with everybody else. You can't try to live life like anybody else, because all you're doing is putting masks on yourself, and you're not allowing God to show you who you are. You're not allowing your light to shine if you're trying to put walls in front of it. So, as the praise team, Josh and the praise team come up, I'll leave you with this last little story that really, I'm sure many of you heard it, I haven't, till a few days ago, and it really touched my heart, and I feel like this is something I really need to preach, and something I need to say, and it really speaks to me. It says, an old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside of me, he said to the boy. It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil, he is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego, he continued. The other is good, and he is joy, peace, love, hope, and serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. He said, the same fight is going on inside of you, and inside every person too. So the grandson thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one that you feed.
Thank you, Brian. I hope you guys were as blessed with the word that he brought as I was. So we've heard the word. We can be the good soil that lets the word absorb into us and take root into us and grow us. We can be like the other soils where it just withers away. I pray that this morning that the word would dwell in you, that it would richly grow in you, that it would produce fruit in you. And as we stand and we approach a time of worship and invitation, I pray that if you're here this morning and maybe you don't know Jesus and you've never experienced the word of God the way that you did this morning and you'd like to respond, well, now is your time. Now is your time to respond and do what Brian says. Don't hold things back, but give God everything. Give God everything. And that it's your prayer this morning as we sing, "Give me Jesus," that would be your prayer. That would be the cry of your heart. So let's sing "In the Morning."
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
When I'm alone.
When I am alone. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Sing, "Give me Jesus" one more time.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
Brother Ricky, would you pray as we are dismissed this morning?